Back, everybody, to another episode of Fiona and Cake Madness. Ned and Russell don't talk about Adventure Time. We talk about Fiona and Cake.
Yeah, this is Fiona and Cake Central, episode two of the Fiona and Cake saga of the original series, not the extra series that we literally just covered a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, it's kind of, I mean, at least we were this far through season five, but we didn't like end Fiona and Cake the series on this episode, and then immediately start back on Adventure Time with this. So
I totally agree.
A little aggressive.
And this episode's interesting because it doesn't really feel like the bulk or the important things that occur in this episode are canonical because they're being told by Marceline and not by Ice King himself, and therefore can't be within the universe that is inside Ice King's head, right?
Yeah, well, a little bit. That's actually, I kind of made a point in this episode. Again, this is season five's episode 11, Bad Little Boy, which again has a great song in it, but the story itself, interesting. It kicks off with Ice King's story. It's Fiona and Cake riding on a huge Gunther that can shoot lasers out of its mouth. Dr. Prince is stealing the Enchiridion, and then Ice King comes out of the Enchiridion to save the day.
Yeah.
Now, he did say this is a first draft, right?
So yeah, it is a first draft, which is an interesting concept given that there's a world in, or a universe inside of his head.
Yeah, well, that's what's kind of interesting is like he does explicitly state several times, I write Fiona and Cake fan fiction. And so I think that maybe, you know, especially at the end of this episode when he has the huge ice sculptures of them downstairs and there's all those books that he's written. I would assume that half of what he's writing down is what's going on in his head. The other half is just going to be the fan fiction aspect of it, not necessarily anything Fiona and Cake. And so I think when we have Fiona and Cake episodes where Ice King's not involved at all, that's going to be canonical. This is just Ice King reading a fan fiction. So I don't think any part of this episode is, like actual canonical Fiona and Cake at all.
Interesting. It's also very fascinating to me that you took a different perspective of the shrine at the end of this episode. Because I do see what you're saying. It certainly could be giant book piles of the fan fiction and or the story that is Fiona and Cake written down, piled up next to these giant ice sculptures of Fiona and Cake. Part of me was thinking maybe this is the research that he's been doing to bring them into the real world or to try and find them. I mean, at the very end of the episode, he says, as he's either going to the shrine or at the shrine, he says, I know you're out there somewhere. I just haven't figured out how to get to you, but believe me, I will, which to me kind of infers that like, this is him trying to get to Fiona and Cake. And all of these books are like the madness that is already Ice King, but also the lengths that he's willing to go to in order to try and make this happen.
Yeah, it makes me think, though, that it just in the episode, order that it went in, it would have made more sense to have the Mystery Dungeon episode after this one, because now we understand Ice King's obsession with bringing them back to life a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And in Mystery Dungeon, that was like his whole driving point, was to find the ancient sleeping magi of life-giving.
Yeah, that's a good point.
To bring the book back to life. Or back to life in general. So that was just, it was super random in Mystery Dungeon. Now it kind of gives, this episode gives context to his obsession. And kind of like you said, a lot of the research, he obviously knew of this ancient sleeping magi of life-giving. And you're right, he probably had to do tons of research to figure out where he was and about the dungeon and everything there.
And at this point, we don't even have a couple of the characters within the Fiona Cake universe. We've never seen how they actually are within, outside of the series. So I guess if you're thinking of the Fiona and Cake series, then you know who Marshall Lee is and you know who Gumball is and how they interact and what happens with their story. But as of the initial Adventure Time series and how Marshall Lee looked and was and how they both were acting, at this point, all we have is two different, I was going to say non-canonical versions of them. But one of them is a story or a fake version of Gumball, right? And the very mm-hmm. first time we saw Gumball, it's like him being actually the ice. Is it Queen or Ice Witch?
Yeah, the
Ice Queen.
Yes, I think it's just probably the Ice makes Queen. Sense.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ice Queen is, you know, pretending to be Gumball. So we don't really know, is Gumball smooth? Is he cool? Or is he kind of dorky as he is in this? I mean, this is Marceline telling the story of Gumball mm-hmm. when we see Gumball. And so it's like, is he dorky and is he kind of lame? And is he, you know, like,
yeah, well, it's
someone
it's,
to carry him up a ladder and stuff.
And it's a lot of this. And I think a huge part of this is, and I've got some several deeper thoughts on this, not super deep, but that Marceline's projecting a lot of her observations of just the oh, yeah. existing universe. Because obviously she sees Ice King's Fiona and Cake fan fiction as just stories about Finn and Jake and Princess Bubblegum. So Marceline's side of the story here definitely projects that, like, yeah, she sends Finn and Jake, aka Fiona and Cake, on super lame missions, and Fiona and Cake are super bored with Princess Bubblegum. And no, they would much rather just go hang out and do stuff with Marceline, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think I have a cool take on this, and I want to get to it in a second, but maybe it'd be good to start with what we get, which is the fan fiction at the beginning of this, and kind of talk through our thoughts on the Dr. Prince and all that stuff, just because yeah. I do have some thoughts, and we kind of flew over it a little bit. I think the bulk of this episode and the more interesting aspects of this episode happen later on when Marceline's telling the story. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to not like shout out yeah, Dr. Prince, because Dr. Prince is, I mean, almost my lovely this episode. Dr. Prince was awesome. He's a really strong guy. And don't worry, y'all. He took his doctor pills this morning. So he's prepared. He's prepared to be doctored. I thought that was so funny that there are pills to be better at doctoring. He's got one of those little guys in his pockets that you always yeah. point out.
Yeah, the little, what are they called? I think it's knowledge parasite, or science parasite, something like that.
Yeah, and then him being like, I took my doctor pills, you're not going to get this reference. And honestly, half the people that listen to this won't get this reference because it's like 500 episodes into One Piece. But there's a character called Trafalgar D. Waterlaw. And in One Piece, he's like, out of nowhere, dude, just totally out of nowhere, he's like, don't worry, I'm a doctor. And he ends up doing like intense surgery. We had met this character. He had been in the story for a while. And then he's just like, yeah, like, I'm a doctor. It's all good. Like, I can do this crazy surgery on this guy. It's just so goofy. And that's what I thought of when I heard the Dr. Pills comment.
It reminded me of like the, it's okay, I'm a limo driver from Dumb and Dumber.
Yes. Yeah. And then he even throws a dolphin, which is so goofy. And a big LOL moment for me in this episode was the dolphin flipping around midair, looking back at them and just being, next time. I'll get y'all.
I thought it was funny coming right off the little dude episode where the possessed candy person was just throwing a horse around to attack people. So lots of animals being thrown in this season so far.
Oh yeah. And Ice King's totally making himself like come out to be like the coolest guy ever, who's got the most charisma in the world and can entirely change Dr. Prince's perspective just by like talking to him for like a split second, of course.
And Fiona, you know, trying to make himself look good. They're like, what's your name, super mega cool rad guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we're going to be best friends forever. Like, BFFLs or whatever.
I loved that moment though, when he pulls out the mac and cheese. He's like, let's have a super like best friends lunch. And it's like, I want to remember this forever, and puts the mac and cheese in his pocket. Cause I make a bad dad joke all the time. Where whenever we're taking leftovers and I'm like, they're like, oh, do you want a box for that? And I was like, no, I'll take it home in my pocket. Just get a little pocket wings, some pocket mac and cheese for the way home. It's like my worst bad dad joke. So
it's good.
Pocket mac is a good one.
I like it. I like it. I just think of the tots from, gosh, what is that?
From Napoleon Dynamite. Zipper full of tots in his pants.
But I don't know. Ice King's interesting. He definitely expresses, even in that scene, a deep desire for them to be real. You know, like, I guess that's why I was thinking that giant pile of books at the end were maybe his research, is because there are two different moments. And it ends on the moment of being like, come on, I know y'all are real. Y'all are out there. Like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
And it's not just him wanting to be friends with people, even though he obviously does make them his best friend for life and the story that he's telling, but still.
Yeah. No, it's good. And I think it's a cool moment just to see that it's a funny moment that Ice King views himself as a hero and desires to be a hero, writes himself into fiction as a hero, all in the midst of having four princesses in cages, yeah, forcing to so it further distances his like touch with reality of like, I'm reading about how I'm this great hero, but then totally unaware that he's doing bad things in the real world.
Well, Ned, are you hating on his story? I mean, it's got the three things that you need. It's got action, it's got adventure, and it's got a hotter, older guy. And I know you love silver foxes.
I love silver foxes. Let's just get to, that is my tops of the episode, is
when
he's staring down Wildberry Princess and his eyebrows are just like...
Yeah, Marceline gets him back with it at the, like a couple minutes later, being like, let me tell this story, and does the eyebrow thing for a split second. But that's a good tops. I'm surprised it's not the song, because the song was so good. And of course, I love the music of Adventure Time, clearly. I mean, all my favorite episodes are, you know, include a good song, but I don't know. That was my tops was the song for sure.
Okay. That's probably, I would have been able to guess that, I would assume.
Yeah. 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 No big surprise there. Well, then let's dive into Marceline's story. It's like I mentioned, not canon for Fiona and Cake, because she's telling it based off of, as you mentioned, the fan fiction that she's been hearing for the past couple hours that Ice King has been telling all these princesses in this room. But I do think it's revealing in many ways, especially when it comes to Marceline and her perspectives and how she's been feeling, or how she feels even currently, even after her and Princess Bubblegum kind of got back together and were like, oh, we can be cool, like we can be chill. Mm-hmm. You still have that t-shirt. You know, like we can be buds and we'll figure this out. And we do have a history, but you know, like let's try to put the past behind us and move on. In this episode, my thought, or what I'm connecting, is that her making Gumball the way that he is kind of her expressing that she's still a little peeved at Princess Bubblegum.
Oh, easily. I would say that comes forward again, just like saying he's lame and he can't even walk down the ladder of the treehouse without being like, you got it.
Yeah, he ends up falling off of the ladder at the end there. And then, so at the very beginning, Fiona almost kills him with a knife as she's throwing it across the room. And I was just going to mention that, like you said, lame, like makes him look super dorky, which is a contrast to, and though technically not true because it was Ice Queen pretending to be Gumball, but he was very smooth in that episode, which was Ice King's version of a Gumball, not the Gumball, but a Gumball because of Ice Queen. And the first time we saw Fiona and Cake. But yeah, needed to be carried up the ladder, falls off it. Marshall Lee throws a cream puff at him. Like there's a lot of little moments, a lot of jabs that he kind of brushes off that Marceline is putting Gumball in. And I think it's just her expressing how she's still a little peeved at Princess Bubblegum. And poor Gumball, he's my lovely of this episode.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he's my lovely
of that episode. I wouldn't have guessed that one.
He had to be. I think he's the butt of so many jokes, and I think he did a really great job of kind of letting it slide off him and just being like, I'm not going to let Marshall Lee egg me on and like get into this fight with him. I'm just going to keep doing my thing. Even though he was so dorky, and from the perspective of Marceline, I still think Gumball is my lovely this episode.
Okay, I give you that one. I think my lovely, here we go, my lovely of this episode.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Comes from a character, I had to look up the actual name, but it's Tail Tufts, which is the Tree Trunks, but
what?
Flipped gender version is Tail Tufts.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Who's playing the knife game, but just with his trunk, with a spoon, just going back and forth, and still ends up stabbing his trunk with it. That got my lovely of the episode for sure.
I was like, where was Tree Trunks in this episode? I do remember that for a split second.
At LSP's party in the woods.
Yeah, the party I have some issues with. The main one being a character that is almost always my most punchable character, LSP, the male version of LSP in this episode. And you know it's the male version just because he's got a little bit of like...
Just scruff. A little bit of a crustache right there.
Just a little bit of a crustache. LSP and Cinnamon Bun are just dancing up on each other, and I'm just not here for it, man. I'm sorry. I'm just not here for it. I'm yucking yums. I do apologize, but here for it.
No, I'd say, yums. But it's cool. Yeah, we see Muscle Princess alt version. We see Wormo. Who else? We see Tree Trunks and Mrs. Pig, Tail Tufts and Mrs. Pig, Cinnamon Bun. And then I think there were some other ones in there that like were candy people flip around, but I didn't like stare at the screen long enough to like pick all of them out.
No, yeah. Neither did I, man. Neither did I.
On your point, though, about it being very revealing about Marceline because she's telling the story, I think it's a very interesting perspective because, first of all, it's her perspective on Princess Bubblegum, but it's also a lot of perspective on herself, how she sees herself and possibly, not relationship, but how she sees her friendship with Finn as well. So Marshall Lee in this episode just kind of tells her 15 times, I'm evil. I'm the son of a demon. I'm the Vampire King. What did you expect? You expected me to be like nice and sweet. It's interesting to me that Marceline, even though she's already grown so much through 5 seasons of the show, in her mind, I think she holds everybody at an arm's distance because she still sees herself as like, well, at my core, I'm evil. Like, I'm not going to do the right thing. I don't have to do the right thing, or it's cooler to choose the wrong thing. And then obviously she also sees herself as really cool. And like super fly, and like it's a little bit narcissistic, and it's a little bit like kind of sad that kind of at the end of the episode she's like, I'm not really a good friend to people, you know.
Do you feel though, I guess in my mind as I was watching this, and I could be totally incorrect about this, I was thinking opposite as opposed to just being gender swapped. And the way that I was looking at Marshall Lee was that Marshall Lee as a character is innately evil at the end of the day, while as Marceline is innately good at the end of the day. Like, there is nothing but good, or there is good inside her, despite the fact that she came off a little jerky at the beginning of the episode, at the beginning of when we met Marceline, she kicked and vitted, right? She kicks everybody out of the treehouse, you know, and she comes off as a jerk, and she's like bullying them, and then it ends up she just wants to be a friend of Finn and Jake's.
Well,
and mess with them a little bit. Like, I'd see Marceline's character, and I, throughout the series, don't see her as evil on the inside. I mean, she was raised by Simon, you know, like by a very caring Simon. So she's had this upbringing that has been so good for her and in the long term, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's exactly my point, is that like we as the viewers and Finn and everybody knows that she's not evil in the real world. I think just maybe it's a way of like, she's telling the story, and it's kind of sad that she still sees herself that way, you know. That even though she doesn't really like, even in, I think this episode has tons of parallels to Henchman as well. When she gets Finn to like, kind of, she's pranking him the whole time. She's doing all these quote unquote evil things, and then at the end, it's just all a prank on Finn, like every single one of them. And this same thing with the end of this episode when Marshall Lee not only was like, "I'm gonna take cake and I'm gonna." Force you to fight skeletons, but it's all just kind of a ploy that he could like fake die and mess with her a little bit, you know? So it's very, very comparable to Henchman and Evicted.
She is making Marshall super confident, like nearly on the edge of a degree of cockiness, especially at the beginning there, where he's just like, look, I know you're going to say yes to going to this party with me, so do we even have to do this dance? Like, just come with me anyways. And maybe that's part of like the confidence that is attractive in the sense that Fiona is interested in it. But at the end, we do have that whole moment, which really feels a lot like the season 4, episode 16, Burning Low moment, where Finn is on top of the hill and Princess Bubblegum, he confronts Princess Bubblegum as Princess Bubblegum's coming up to talk to him. Really a very similar thing where he's just like, you know, just admit it. Like, you love me. I'm about to die, even though he's not really about to die. He's faking being stabbed.
She's like, literally, you're about to die, but like, don't you stop messing with me. Stop trying to invoke emotions of like again, it's kind of a revealing on Marceline's part that this is the way that the romantic aspect of this story played out, is it was like, I think you have a crush on me and I just am going to force you to admit it. Like, so does that makes me think, does Marceline think that Finn has a crush on her?
Well, and then Marshall Lee, it's so confusing going back and forth between the two different realities.
Yeah.
Marshall Lee ends up having nothing but respect for Fiona for sticking up and putting him in his place at the end there, which is a fascinating twist. I want to bring up a different perspective, and we can talk about the song maybe afterwards or as we're doing this. But I went through the different relationships in my head that Marceline has been in or has kind of flirted with, or, I don't know, like hinted at having an attraction toward being Finn. But we know, so the song and just in general, that segment of this episode, the story is written by Marceline, and we know that she's not in the Finn, despite her early flirting early on in the series. Like, she sees him just as a friend. So then my thought was like, well, what could this be about Princess Bubblegum? And I didn't think it could be about Princess Bubblegum because, one, in my mind, Marceline's not evil and Marshall's evil, though technically it's not necessarily opposite people. It's just gender swapped. And neither is Princess Bubblegum. And then her being raised by Caring Simon, plus Marshall Lee is, again, I guess my notes are wrong because it's not necessarily her opposite. But he is admitting that he's evil in the song, where she's not evil. So I don't think it perfectly reflects Marceline and Princess Bubblegum, because they're both, in my mind, inherently good. Though perhaps it could be written, like the song itself could be written from Princess Bubblegum's perspective as we're going through it. And he's singing, or she sings in the song, Fiona sings, "Bad little boy, that's what you're acting like. I really don't buy that you're that kind of guy." And then he says, "Don't you know that I'm a villain? Every night I'm out here killing, sending everyone running like children. And then he says, "You think I'm not so bad? I'm the son of a demon and the vampire king. It's not something I have to try at. It's just something that he is." So in my mind, I was like, well, what character has Marceline kind of been flirting with or been in a relationship with that was kind of a jerk or kind of evil? And there's a pretty obvious manipulative jerk in her history that we met early on, Ash.
Yeah, with Ash. Yeah.
So I was thinking maybe this is her writing kind of the perspective that she had with Ash in this song. So Ash is this manipulative jerk, and
and that maybe she was the good little girl.
She was the good little girl. Maybe she felt like she could change him. She could do something that would get him to be a better person. And season three, episode three, Memory of a Memory, we see her constantly kind of ignoring him, being rude and being self-centered, where he's like, "Oh yeah, go freshen up," and like kicks her into, you know, getting ready or whatever. And at the end of the episode, he says, I get hungies at 8 o'clock, which I actually loved that moment. But
Ashy gets hungies. I say that all the time. Ashy gets hungies at 8 p.m.
Right. But it's like him being a jerk and her like putting it off and be like, "Oh, whatever, you know, like I can change him. It's okay." But she couldn't help but be attracted to the dude. And this song feels like that. Like, it's a good little girl and a bit of a jerk of a guy who, you know, is just like, doesn't want to change himself. He's like, "Well, this is just who I am. I don't care. Like, I'm evil. That's chill with me." So I kind of felt like maybe it was written about Ash.
Yeah. It's very possible. I would say too, it was just more of like, I think that post Ash too, that she wants to see herself as, "I'm evil and I'm not going to let," you know, kind of what she was in Evicted, of where she was just playing evil and Finn and Jake kept thinking that she was going to kill him, jokingly doing it so, but doing that as a defense mechanism, kind of, like I said, holding everybody at arm's length because she doesn't want to get hurt again, like she did with Ash. So maybe she's also projecting the cool, the overly cool, overly confident, "I'm evil, you're not going to be able to change me, you can't get close to me," as her projecting her defense mechanism with any of her other relationships, essentially, too.
Yeah.
So I think either which way you take an angle on it, obviously, Marceline works out most of her therapy sessions through writing songs. So this is also like taking that into play here. It's like this song is obviously her working through something.
Yeah. But also my thought with Ash being Marshall Lee and her being Fiona in this song does make the ending of this episode very fascinating, or at least that conflict at the end where Marshall is saying like, just a minute, you love me. And then Fiona turns him down. Maybe that's what she wished she had done forever ago with Ash, right? Like she spent so much time with him. And if she had just had the confidence or like the awareness to put him in his place and say goodbye forever. That's again, just another reason why I was like, oh, this is a cool parallel, perhaps. And I could be reaching a little bit, but.
No, I don't think you're reaching. I actually have some really good points. And this might be a good transition to just a little excerpt I'm going to read. But I actually looked on Psychology Today online, and they wrote a online article about three reasons why we fall for the quote unquote bad boy. So I'll start with the third reason, because it actually plays into what you were saying, is the complex dynamics of love bombing. So in the complexities of on-again, off-again relationships, emotions, uncertainties, stress, and the history of renewals collectively influence how stability is perceived. Understanding the dynamics can aid in navigating relationships in which the love bombers' evolved manipulation skills make it challenging to discern their true intentions. And so, yeah, she obviously, I think Ash was love bombing Marceline in the past, but then a lot of that I read kind of deeper into that segment specifically too. And then the other two kind of play off of this, but that one is that he's throwing it back on Fiona. Like, hey, don't you have a crush on me? Like, I'm not going to say anything about how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm going to love bomb you by putting all of that on your shoulders. You have to be the one that stays vulnerable.
Like
you have
to be the move one. Or is vulnerable. Yeah.
Exactly. But the other two dynamics of that as well are the fine line between confidence and conceit. Cause, again, it's just like kind of, is it confidence or is Marshall Lee just like really into himself and thinks he's hilarious and all that stuff. But the appeal of bad boys largely centers on the aura of confidence they exude. While confidence is usually a healthy trait in a potential partner, it is imperative to differentiate authentic self-assuredness or masked arrogance rooted in insecurity, which we've seen a lot with Marceline, obviously, too, because she has a lot of dad issues, dead mom issues, growing up in the apocalypse issues. But the last aspect of, again, the three reasons why we fall for the bad boy is the tempting love-hate dynamic. The crux of temptation lies in the intermittent reinforcement of affection after periods of neglect. So kind of like you said, the period with Ash. In other words, their allure intensifies when they should shift from treating you as if you were invisible to suddenly treating you like the most important person in their life. The psychological phenomenon of intermittent reinforcement then creates a twisted cycle, drawing us deeper into a web of attraction. So again, it's very much like you said, Marshall Lee kind of being distant, kind of being flirty, and then pushing her over, and then being mean to Cake, and then flirting again. It's something that just like messes you up psychologically. And again, Marceline probably experienced that with Ash, and she's letting it go in the story, you know? So sorry, that was a lot. But that was my like only kind of deeper dive into. I was trying to get a psychological term for what it was to like the bad boy, but it was just more of an analysis.
I do love that it comes from like a almost a BuzzFeed-esque article about like liking the bad boy, but with some good content, like with some actually good perspective there, and works really well with this episode. I know Marshall Lee worked on me.
Because he's your sexy character of the episode?
He's my sexy character of the episode.
I knew it. It's always Marceline anyway, so it had to be Marshall Lee. No, I was going to agree with
you. It's just dreamy. He seems a little sleepy, you know? He seems a little sleepy.
Got that sleepy boy energy.
Got that sleepy boy. Donald Glover freaking killing it. I did not know Donald Glover was the original voice actor for Marshall Lee as well, and that was such a fun like surprise to come across in this episode. He does a great job singing. His performance is really incredible. The you know, that first three words of that song, the good little girl, just like is in my head. I can't get that out of my head. So kudos to a great performance, great voice acting. What can he not do? Donald Glover.
What can he not do?
It's almost annoying how good he is at things.
Yeah. And it's just the cool. And then honestly, with the song, just breaking the song down, it sounds like they have like almost like soft mics or like a little like ASMR going on. Like they turn the mic really down, but get like really close to it. So like, you know, there's some kind of aspect that makes the song better. Just honestly from the way it's produced and recorded as well. Yeah. But makes Donald Glover's voice sound a lot cooler.
It does. And he's got a beatbox rap that was not written by the same person. I don't know who wrote the beatbox rap. I couldn't find too much on it. But I did find that there are two different sources saying two different things. So I do apologize if I'm wrong in this. I'm going to go with what the wiki says, the like Adventure Time wiki says, that this is the last song written by Rebecca Sugar before she went on to do Steven Universe. Huh. So I thought that was a really fascinating like factoid, you know?
Yeah,
like, it's such a good song. And I was like, this has to be Rebecca Sugar. So I was really surprised when I just Googled the lyrics. It says that the lyrics are other people, but I'm going to assume the wiki is correct and that this is Rebecca Sugar's last song for Adventure Time.
It could be. I don't think that that's correct because I think it's saying it's her last song that she did before she started Steven Universe, but that doesn't innately mean that she doesn't do any more.
Well, it said the last song written by Rebecca Sugar before she left to work on Steven Universe, which implies it's her last song.
I guess it implies. We'll figure it out. We'll wait until the next like really good song comes up and around and see if
it's
Rebecca
her
Sugar gets any creds.
I don't know. It makes me wonder if I need to check out Steven Universe though, man.
I need to go check out Steven Universe.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, in terms of that's a great factoid. The other fact that I kind of pulled out of this one that was kind of crazy was that this is the first episode in the entire show of 5 seasons, 11 episodes, that Finn and Jake are not in the episode at all. And I was like, we've had a lot of episodes not focused on them, but they've at least made an appearance. So it's super, super weird that this is the first time that this is happening.
Took a long time. Took a dang long time. 5 seasons, 11 episodes. I don't even know like what the number count is that we're at right now. I assume it's 120, 130 because of this is episode 134 of the podcast.
Yeah, I was about to say it was 134 for us. We've done 10 Fiona and Cakes. We've done at least 5 specials. Oh, so we're definitely over 100.
Yeah. Man, it's good.
Otherwise, I will say the only qualm I had with this episode is that it was just a little, not dry, but outside of what we just talked about, like not much happens. It's not one of those episodes where we're like, holy crap, there's one thing happening every 25 seconds, jumping from like scene to scene. So yeah, it's like, I don't think, and maybe I'm just a little burnt on Fiona and Cake. I don't know if this would make top 5 or top 10. Of season 5.
For this season? Wow. Okay. Yeah. I actually really liked this episode. I was super into it.
Okay. I'm down for it. Because I think there's a couple Fiona and Cakes that don't go high on the list for me too. This one for Fiona and Cake episodes is high on the list. But season 5, I think with 50 something odd episodes here, there's a lot more. There's ones I'm more excited about. Next week, we're going to be bringing back in Flame Princess. It's not going to be perfect anymore. It's not going to be her and Finn just being young romantic people. We start to see some qualms happening between the two of them. So I'm very excited.
That's good. That's interesting. I like this episode a whole lot. I would definitely recommend going back and checking it out. If no other reason other than the song itself is worth it. I don't know. I've listened to the song like 5 times since watching this episode. So just like on Spotify. So I guess I'm into it. I think it's a good one for sure.
Good.
But no, good episode. I'm up there with it. I think it's weird comparing this to like the Fiona and Cake miniseries that we got because Fiona is such a great and developed character and like goes through a whole like arc and there's just so much more like oomph behind that?
Yeah, whereas there's so much she is.
It's just kind of fun, like, oh, this is a like fun little tale that won't matter for Adventure Time and this series right now.
Yeah, well, and it's the big thing is that like the show, like we get a little bit more three-dimensional building of Fiona from the actual Adventure Time episodes, but it's tough. I would say it's honestly one of the first times you can't really have a theoretically speaking, because you do know how this whole, yeah, at least part of Adventure Time plays out. It's like, honestly, it's probably, again, kind of good that we didn't have to do this episode. Well, you would have had a lot more theoretically speakings. It would have maybe been a little bit more fun in that regard. But probably for you, maybe. It's actually kind of nice to be like, I know what I'm talking about through and through.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, without a doubt for me, if there's theoretically speaking, it's simply the song is about Ash and her relationship, and she is Fiona like in the song. That's as far as I get with it. I mean, there probably is also an argument for saying, no, it is Princess Bubblegum and Marceline as their relationship worked out or how it didn't work out or whatever. And I'm sure you could dive into that as well. I just didn't take that perspective. Yeah.
I think unpack that. It all sits under the same umbrella that Marceline's just telling the story, and whether it's her past relationship with Princess Bubblegum, whether it's her past relationship with Ash, whether it's how her friendship started out with Finn, that all of those different dynamics are what build her psyche. And essentially all of, I would say don't, it's not one thing or another. I think it's all of it kind of unpacking, Marceline unpacking what's on her mind, how she views herself, how she views all of her relationships is kind of unpacked in the Marshall Lee character big time.
Yeah. I mean, and also if it is Princess Bubblegum, just it does like play into a really interesting perspective of like good little girl. On the other side, talking about like she's having to write from Princess Bubblegum's perspective, saying that I can change you. I wonder if in the past that was the relationship that I just haven't seen a lot of how the relationship was in the past yet. So I don't know how that dynamic worked, but I'm sure if I had seen the miniseries that talks about that a little bit more, I'd be able to, you know, compare the relationship with this song a little bit more than I can. But
we'll get to there. And honestly, I think that we might get to a point here where it was maybe closer to like season 7, season 8, we'd go through the Distant Lands series, because I think going into the final season with there's a whole episode around Marceline and Princess Bubblegum that talks about them after the show's finale, but also tells a lot of their story on how they broke up the first time. There's a whole BMO episode. There's a whole Finn and Jake episode. So I think that we're going to get far enough along to where watching Distant Lands before finishing the show is going to be probably something that preps you and gets you like really pumped up.
Yeah, dude, that sounds awesome. And we last thing, I guess, about episode. Yeah. We got to see a new, is it a demon power or is it vampire power? Being able to raise the dead.
I didn't know
that. Freaking cool.
I was trying to, I saw that with the controlling lightning and bringing the dead back. Or at least
the
skeletons.
Lightning too.
Couldn't be bringing the dead, maybe animating skeletons. Not necessarily bringing the dead back to life.
Yeah.
But again, if Marshall Lee's intent was it's for kind of, to be like a prank, is it an actual power or is it just like, yeah, I don't know. He had it set up as a trap and those skeletons aren't really real. I don't know, maybe. But that would be a really cool power if Marceline actually knows that she can do that.
She might be able to. I don't know. We'll see. We probably won't see. But now, what's your lesson? What's your big takeaway from this episode?
Well, you hit one of the hammers on the head. A good story needs action, adventure, romance, and a hot older guy. My second one is don't play mind games with people, especially girls that can throw a good right hook.
Yeah, because Fiona does punch ends up beating up Marshall Lee pretty good at the end there.
Which is a good, again, I think it's part of Marceline's story. The first time that she met Finn, he starts fighting her. And remember, he hits her like really hard in the face and she's like, ow, that actually hurt.
When she's in the vampire form though,
in the bat form.
This is just like normal Marshall Lee form.
Yeah.
And she gets him good. She gets him good.
What are your lessons?
Dude, my lesson is simply, I think I said it earlier, like I just need to go check out Steven Universe. It seems like it could be a worthwhile show, especially with Rebecca Sugar having such a huge, I guess it's her creation. I don't even know.
Yeah, I think she was one of the, maybe the, I'm not going to say it wrong. It might be a producer, just a writer in general.
Yeah, I'm not sure. For some reason, I was thinking it was her baby, but we'll have to look into that. And this will be another thing that we never bring up again on the podcast that we claim that we're going to research.
So is your recommendation going to also be Steven Universe here?
No, it's not. My recommendation, I'm excited about. This is, I think last episode, I had a show that I'm only two episodes into because there are only two episodes out at the time of this recording that I'm pumped about. This is another show that has two seasons out and I've only seen three episodes of, but it's freaking cool. Spy X Family is the name of this anime.
Okay.
And I think, I don't know where else you could see it other than Crunchyroll. That's where we're watching it. It may be on Netflix though, but it's just so good, dude. It's hilarious. There's not a lot of anime that make me laugh. I feel like for whatever reason, my sense of comedy doesn't align a lot of times with the like Japanese sense of comedy for some reason. So when I'm watching One Piece or watching Naruto or just don't land like any other anime that I've seen. I've seen a ton of them. They just don't normally land for me that well. But this show is so good. It's about a dad who's a spy who's having to pretend to not be a spy, of course. And then he, in order to get, I want to say he's trying to like get in with a group or something, or like trying to get information on someone. Anyways, he has to adopt a daughter, and the daughter has to go to school. In order to have the daughter go to school, they have to pass this entrance exam, and he has to get a wife. So the first like two episodes are like he gets a daughter and then he gets a wife, and the daughter is a telepath and can like read his mind, you know? So
being a spy. Good animes, but like it's really, I know it's going to be pretty solid, but it's really, yeah. I can tell it's hard to explain animes without coming off just outlandish. Yeah.
He's like killing people and like being a spy. And like every once in a while, like she'll read his thoughts when he does something or pretends to like something. And his thoughts would be like, well, I can't do this because then this would happen and I'd have to kill this person. And you just see the daughter's face just like go blank and it's just like wide eyed and like freaking out like, well, the crab dad's going to kill me or something, like, you know? And then of course the wife that they get is also a very interesting character because it's somebody that needs to have a husband within like a couple of days. And so she's very fascinating and has her own story, and it may be a Mr. and Mrs. Smith type thing one day. I don't know, but it's good. It's very funny. I highly recommend Spy X Family from the three episodes I've seen.
Okay, nice, nice. Well, I think my recommendation might be a repeat from a long time ago. I'm talking like maybe like a year, year and a half ago, but mine is Elden Ring, the video game. The last time I played it, I just had it on my PC, which was great, but now I got it on PS5 and the graphics are a lot better. I can actually play it while I'm on the couch. And it's just a fun game, man. It is like, you can put so many hours into the game and it's very like grindy. There's something like 240 boss fights that you have in there.
Oh my gosh, man.
I've only done one build of a character, but it's a lot like Dungeons and Dragons mentality where like you have to sculpt your whole character's like stats around, do you want to be dexterity and do dual blade wielding? Do you want to do a full-on like faith and arcane build, which is like casting spells on yourself and your weapons while also casting like, you know, like laser spells and things like that. But there's like a probably infinite amount of like, there's hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of weapons in the game. So it's really good. I'd say if you need a good like game that will frustrate the shit out of you, but you can like really get into just a like open world adventure, highly, highly recommended.
Okay. Dude, I'm about to beat Tears of the Kingdom, that Zelda game.
Nice.
I'm finally so good that I can destroy any opponent that comes up against me. But at the same time,
that one where it's like you spend so much time in the game, like worried about the level one opponents. I just want to get done though, dude.
I just want to finish it.
I tried it again. Like, I just had never played Zelda games, so it was just very overwhelming off the bat. Yeah. You know?
Well, again, it's the big open world thing. All those open world games are way overwhelming. But I'm at the point now where I want to finish it so I can play Pikmin 4 because I bought that forever ago and I've never touched it. But yeah, anyways, video games. Y'all, we do have a traveler's log. Yeah, so maybe we can do that real fast.
Log.
This one comes to us from Dustin, and we're actually going to choose or help decide Dustin's DJ name in this. But Dustin says, first of all, I have been binging your podcast, started in November and ended up, and have caught up now to the current shows. So, my gosh, November to January, that's pretty ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. This was
January 2nd, so 2 months. Yeah.
Jeez.
That's so cool when people say that. Good stuff. Keep up the great work. I have a question for you too. I have two DJ names, DJ Dirt Wizard and DJ Abracadustin. So which do you guys like better? Ned, DJ Dirt Wizard and DJ Abracadustin. His name is Dustin.
I'm going to go with Abracadustin for sure.
Abracadustin?
I think doing your your creativity around your real name with an Adventure Time blend in is cool.
Yeah. And also, do you really want to be associated with dirt? Like, I feel like, and I apologize, Dustin, I guess, but you know, my name's Russell and I feel like I don't like rusty because it reminds me of corrosion and it's gross and it's orange and it's metal breaking down and it's just not strong. It doesn't seem cool. So DJ Russ T, the fact that that is my DJ name kind of bothers me sometimes. I say DJ Abracadustin is the move, man. I like Abracadustin.
That's pretty solid. Was that the only thing with the log? Is that no theoretically speaking, no calling us out for doing things wrong, saying something wrong?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, basically the rest of it is, this isn't really a theory as much as I just want to give Dustin a shout out. Moving forward, did either of you ever take psychology? So funny that you read up on psychology earlier today and applied it to the episode. I mean, I took AP psychology in high school and then I took sociology and in college I took interpersonal behavior, which I really loved that class.
Actually, I was going to say I took interpersonal behavior in college, probably one of my favorite courses I took for sure.
Oh yeah, same. I mean, especially as a business major, I mean, it's one of the more interesting courses, but he says, you guys paint excellent word pictures with your mouse speech. And then he was going on to...
pictures with my mouse speech.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes we recommend music to you guys and he wanted to recommend some music that he likes. And I'm just going to name the ones that I kind of already know and have something to say about. I thought it was very interesting that Primus is on this list. Primus does the theme song for South Park and is basically like known for their bass player. But it's very muddy, very... kind of funky, weird music. Shaky Graves is cool because that's actually an artist that the company that I work for owns a lot of their publishing or has a co-publishing deal with them. But yeah, like stuff like Young the Giant is another one. The Violent Films. Let's see, what else? Two Door Cinnamon Club. Pretty good music. I dig it, man.
Yeah, that's the very like, what would you call that? Like high energy indie?
Yeah. Oh, Two Door Cinema Club?
Well, just kind of all of that across. Young the Giant, all too. I would put it in like, and people say indie and you think all like soft, sad, the National style music. And there's kind of like a indie, I guess that's just indie rock, I guess.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, you know, cool music, but yeah, man. Thanks for writing in, Dustin. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Y'all, I've really enjoyed today. I thought today was a really cool episode. And I know we kind of flew through this one. I think it's partially because we didn't do any tangents at the very beginning. We just went straight into it.
We don't tangent on this podcast.
Yeah, we don't tangent on this podcast. And we also recorded an episode and a NAB, which is the NEA and Beyond, the podcast for the Patreon yesterday. So me and Ned have already caught up. And then we talked for 2 hours yesterday.
two and a half hours, give or take. But that's a good, I mean, good plug, Russell, because as we were doing music recommendations from Dustin, our most recent NEA and Beyond episode is Russell and I's top five influential albums of all time. And it was a really, really fun episode. So if you want to get to know me and Russell a little bit better and the music that shaped us along the way, go and subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah, it's like every time that a moment in your life you can like pin to an album. That's kind of what we were going for, and it was very revealing. I feel like I am very lame with the albums that I chose, but I had to be true. I had to be real and just talk about, you know, the boy bands and the things that like shaped my taste in music mm-hmm. from early on. It was fun. It was a good time. You can check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/neverendingadventurepodcast. We're on Instagram at neverending adventure podcast, TikTok at neverendingadventurecast, Twitter at NEA_podcast. Email us your thoughts, your opinions, get on the Traveler's Log like Dustin, give us some theories, give us some, not hate, but if you have any...
Tread me to part.
Yeah, like, I don't know, good criticism that'll help us in the future and
constructive
or...
Constructive criticism.
Or if you even just have like a different perspective. I think that's what I really want to get some different perspectives and mm-hmm. theories that maybe we didn't touch and why. That would be really awesome. To get some more of that. But y'all, thank you so much for writing in. NEA.travelerslog@gmail.com. Ned, it's been good, dude.
Good.
I'm going to go play some Zelda because I'm so ready to be done with this freaking game.
Get done with the game, boy.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Party forever.
All right, let's go.